to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
How many have ever felt that intimidation? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, I've had it come on me just recently, trying to, I just said, no, you don't. I'm not a victim. Tell your neighbor, you're not a victim. Amen. You got to answer and keep on answering. If it keeps on talking, you keep answering. You keep answering. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The song said, what shall we say to these things? So we're supposed to say something. Actually, that's quoting the Bible, not just the song. That's quoting the Bible. If God be for me, who cares who's against me? In other words, I'm not going to let anything be against me, rule over me, and intimidate me. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus. Rule and reign over lack. Amen. Well, you may be seated. I'm glad I came already tonight. I want to go to Ephesians chapter number 1 to begin this evening. I might preach the authority of the believer for the rest of the year. I don't know. I'm not saying I will. I say I might. Just depends how long it takes to bust through some things.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. As a pastor, I desire to see, and I believe this is the heart of the Lord, to see people just triumph in every area of life.
Amen.
In their thought life, in their marriages, in their homes, and there be peace in their homes, no strife, triumphing over strife, triumphing over sickness, triumphing over lack, triumphing over sin, oppression in their minds, discouragement, bondage, you know, intimidation, victim mentality. Just always triumphant. That's the heart of God for us, I believe, and it's my desire. So one of the keys to this is just learning to know your authority over all these things. And so we're going to get back in this tonight, and I want to start in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prayed this prayer for the church at Ephesus, but it's Spirit-inspired, and so it's for us today, because the Scriptures are for us today, aren't they? And in verse 16, he started praying. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us, well, we're saying about us, he said you, but we can pray this for ourselves. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that could be the knowledge of Jesus, who he is, not just who he was, but who he is right now. Right now, who is he? He is the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
He's no longer dead. He's no longer under the prince of the power of the air. He's raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. And so the knowledge of him is not just what we read in the Gospels, although we get knowledge of him in the Gospels, but knowledge of him is progressive over into the epistles.
Right. Yes, sir,
amen.
Yes, sir.
In the epistles, we find him as the glorified, resurrected Christ. We find him the head of the church. We find him the advocate. We find him the go-between, the intercessor between God and man. And we find so much. But then also knowledge of him, if you read the Bible carefully, such as Romans 8, verse number 17, I believe it's verse number 17, it tells us that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when it says the knowledge of him, do you realize the knowledge of him, when you find out who he is, you find out who you are? Because you're one with him. Everything he got, you got. He was blessed, you were blessed. He was raised, you were raised. Amen. Everything he got, you got. We've got to recognize that the in Christ realities means we're identified with him. We're one with him. God sees us as one with him in everything he got in the resurrection. Actually, the death, burial, and resurrection. And who he is today is who we are today. He's raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. And we're raised and seated at the right hand of the Father. We'll read this here in a minute. But the point I'm making is, in verse 17 there, where it says that he gives us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, I have written in my Bible, and of being in him. God wants us to know who he is, And when we see who he is, on the heels of that, we find out who we are. You remember whenever Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am in Matthew 16? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood, you're blessed, Peter. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus right around turned around and said, and I say unto you that you are Peter, which his name had been Simon. He changed his name to Peter. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, my Father. And I say, you're Peter. In other words, his name, just the verse before, was Simon Barjona, and now his name is Peter. The word Simon means shaking reed, like blown in the wind. Every wind of doctrine will change him and move him. But Peter means rock, somebody that's immovable. Jesus said, you just got a revelation of who I am. Therefore, in revelation of who I am, you get a revelation of who you are. I don't see you as a shaking reed. I see you as a rock, and I'm going to use you to build my church. That's how solid you're going to be. Wow. Wow. You might have been raised in high school, and they called you dumb, slow learner, klutzy, you know, stupid, whatever your name was, you know, all those things, poor, broke, living on the wrong side of the track, don't have anything. That's who you are in yourself. But in Christ, see yourself in him. Hallelujah. And you'll like the new man better than you'll like the old man. I'll guarantee you that. But see, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Jesus. He wants us to see him and have revelation of who he is. And because of that, you'll see as we read, he'll show us who we are. Then verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what he expects when calling you. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, he wants you to know how glorious his inheritance is by getting you. Amen. He inherited you. Yeah. Wait a minute, you might say, I thought it was the other way around. It is true the other way around, but it's true this way too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He got something by inheriting you. You know what he got? He got access to the earth again.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He got authority down here again.
What?
Oh, yeah, just keep on reading. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Look at your Bible. Some of you are looking at me. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. What is the exceeding greatness of his power according to the working of his mighty power? Huh? Well, isn't it the power that raised him from the dead that he's talking about? Yeah, but I skipped something, didn't I? His power to usward, in other words, towards us, who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ. In other words, that power that raised Jesus from the dead was not just that Jesus was just not the only target of that power. Really, the target of that power was us. That's what we're going to see as we read. All these things might be new to you, but you just keep on listening and you'll see and understand. What is the exceeding, God wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him, that's Christ, at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Set Jesus up there at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where did he sit him? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things, in other words, all these powers, under his feet. God's power that raised Jesus from the dead was so powerful. Actually, the exceeding greatness, actually four words that are used here to describe the greatness of his power. Exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his working mighty is another one, which he wrought in Christ when he raised. There's four words there to describe the greatness of his power. In other words, this is the greatest power displayed ever by God. More than when he created the worlds.
Yeah.
more than when he created the worlds. Why was it more? Was it a greater power? Because it conquered all these forces that opposed the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
These principalities, powers, and so forth, and dominions and might, there in verse 21, every name that is named, all those forces oppose the resurrection of Christ. So to raise Jesus from the dead was not just a matter of bringing his spirit back. It was a matter of conquering all the forces that tried to hold him in hell. He couldn't just raise him and bring him back without conquering all those forces. They're the ones that crucified him. If Satan would have known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory, the Bible says. It was Satan behind those individuals that crucified Jesus. He thought he was defeating Jesus, didn't know that he was playing right into the plan of God, playing right into God's hand. Now, I'm getting somewhere. If you listen, you'll get something out of this. So Jesus was bound. He was under the forces of darkness. He was taking our place. He never sinned, but the wages of sin is death. We were in spiritual death. And so in order to pay the price for our sin, Jesus took the penalty, which is spiritual death.
Yes.
Spiritual death includes being dominated by the forces of darkness. Amen. When we were in spiritual darkness, Satan was in dominion over us. Whenever we got saved, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus did that through his death, burial, and resurrection. We put our faith in that, and that's how we got saved. God applied what happened to Jesus to us. And that was the whole plan. The plan was towards us the whole time. The power was waiting on us the whole time. We mixed faith with it, bam. Amen. We are raised from the dead. Not just Jesus, we are raised from the dead. Tell your neighbor, we are raised from the dead. And that's what he's going on to say. He goes on and put all things under his feet, verse 22, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, Paul didn't write in scripture and verse. These were added, scripture and verses were added later for our reference's sake. But notice what it goes on, verse 1 of chapter 2 to say, and you. In other words, he's continuing, he's connecting what he had just said to what he's getting ready to say, and you. Notice hath he quickened is italicized. Anybody know what that means? It was added by the translators. So let's read it. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. You and you who were dead in trespasses. In other words, he not only raised Jesus far above all these principalities and powers. Somebody said, I already know this. I don't care how much your head knows. You and I've got to sit before these truths reverently, meditating on them until faith rises up within our spirit and we have a spirit of faith about the things opposing us. You can know this in your head and the devil still rule over you. Not because he has the right to, but just simply because you or I are allowing him to, because it hasn't dawned on us yet. Hasn't dawned on us inwardly. That we have authority to rule over this. Amen. So he went on to say, and you, far above, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. So what he's talking about is this power that was that raised Jesus from the dead is to usward. Amen. Are you making any sense out of that? It overcame all the forces of darkness that opposed the resurrection. And the evil forces they were overthrown by the risen Christ. And Jesus was seated far above them. And all that manifestation of God's power pointed towards us. The resurrection was a crushing defeat for the powers of darkness. Amen. Jesus, though, did it as our representative. How many of you know before he came here to earth and then took on the flesh and then took on spiritual death and so forth? How many of you know before he did all that, he was seated far above already? He didn't need to conquer Satan for himself. He did it as man's representative. He did it as our substitute. God put it to our account that whenever he did it and we put our faith in him, God put it to our account that we did it. He put it to our account that we defeated the devil.
Amen.
And in the mind of God, now you were raised with him out of spiritual death and you were seated with him in a place far above all these forces of darkness. Jesus overcame for man, and he prepared a throne and a heavenly ministry for us who would believe it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you being dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened as italicized, so we're taking that out. In other words, the verb hath he, if you put in there hath he quickened, it changes the verb to mean something different in this sentence. Amen. That was not in the original, so the Holy Spirit is referring back to verses 19 and 20 where the verb is when he says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, he raised Jesus up in 19 and 20, far above all principality and power in verse 21, and you in chapter 2, verse 1. In other words, when you add hath he quickened, it adds a verb in there that attaches the sentence to it. But when you take that out, you got to go find the verb. Where is it? And it's back in 19 and 20.
That's good. Amen.
He quickened Jesus and you. Did you get that? And you who were dead. In other words, when you were dead, Jesus raised you just like he did with Jesus. The same verb that expresses the resurrection of Christ or the reviving of Christ expresses the reviving of his people. Amen. The very act of God that raised Jesus from among the dead raised his body also. You notice there he said, raised up and put all things under his feet and made us to be the body. He became the head. The feet are in the body. So Jesus sees us as his body, his spiritual body, as raised with him whenever he was raised. And whenever it says put all things under his feet, he's not talking about his physical feet. Jesus has a glorified physical body sitting on the right hand of the Father, but he's not talking about his physical feet. He's talking about his spiritual feet, which are in the body. The least member of the body of Christ today is far above all the forces of darkness. Not just a little bit, far above. You might think you're the least person in the body of Christ, but guess what? You're still far above. Far above. Hallelujah. Naturally, the head and the body are raised together. Isn't that right? Whenever you sat down in the seat you're sitting in, your head didn't sit somewhere else. When your head sat down in the seat you're sitting in, your body sat there too. Why? Because your head and body are one.
Yes, sir.
So is Christ in the church.
Amen.
There's many members, but the Bible said only one body. Your body and your head are one. And so you're seated tonight where your head is seated because you're one. Your body and your head are one. Well, Jesus' church is seated with him because he's one with his body. He's not decapitated. We as the body of Christ are not decapitated. We got a head. And the head didn't come down where we are. The head raised us to where he is. He did originally come down, but he wasn't the head of the church then. He became the head of the church when he raised up and was seated. Hallelujah. Praise. I did it. I preached myself happy. Now, the body and the head are one. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. We're joint heirs with a lot of things, with him in a lot of things. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. How many of you know the Bible talks about, Ephesians 1:3, it says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is one of those spiritual blessings. Another verse, 2 Peter 1, I believe it's verse 3 or 4 down and through there somewhere. I believe it's verse 4, but I could be wrong. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This authority is one of those blessings. You now, Satan will respond to you now. Now, when I say Satan, I'm not saying wait for some creature to appear to you or something. I'm talking about any of his works. Oppression in your mind. That's a work of Satan. Amen. So the position we have is not the special gift imparted to in answer to prayer to somebody who prays a long time. In other words, they're not granted this position because they ask God to give them some special thing in the body of Christ. It is the present tense inheritance of every child of God because they were joined to Him in the new birth. Amen. We don't climb the heavenly steps, as old timers used to say. You're not trying to climb up to heaven. There's some spiritual authority up there once you get there in some spiritual ecstasy that you get because you prayed half a day or all day long. It is the present tense possession of every true child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It takes no action on your part to be seated. That's something that Jesus did when He translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, it takes some faith on your part to get the blessings out of it. But you're there. That's where you are right now. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how you feel. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you feel victorious or you have authority or not. That's who you are. That's your present tense position. Amen. Our place is simply recognize the authority that we have in that position. Believe it and take our place and bring glory to God through it. You know, whenever you rule over the forces of darkness that try to oppress you and back you out of helps ministry and do all the, you know, try to keep you from prospering and all those things, sick, broke, busted, and disgusted, oppressed and tormented in your mind, heavy and discouraged and weak and failing and always trying to win and trying to overcome strife in the flesh and blah, all that stuff. Whenever you're all of that, everybody still here tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you're all of that, you're not glorifying God whatsoever.
That's right.
Bring glory and honor to Him and show Satan every day. Be a neon flashing sign in hell every day whenever you wake up. I have conquered you. You're under my feet. Jesus won the victory over you and I'm standing in my place.
Amen.
I like it. This stuff turns me on, if you know what I mean. Too often the enemy's been successful in holding back the knowledge of what we're preaching tonight. Amen. He has used and employed the same blinding tactics that he has found effective in the case of the lost and those who do not believe. He's used that against the church. Yeah, amen. And that has been successful in too many times to hold back the knowledge of what we're preaching here tonight. Now listen, I'm going to press into some things because it has to be if we're going to get to the next level. But let me warn you about something. I've done this, I've pressed into these kinds of things 3 or 4 different times in my life, real, real, real strong. Every time, like I remember the first couple of times was in healing school, preaching it in healing school. Every single time, tell your neighbor, he meant it when he said it every single time. Tell your neighbor, he's not exaggerating, it's true. Every single time, the crowd would drop off to at least 1/3 and sometimes down to 1/2 of what the attendance was all weeks before that.
Wow.
Many times because they were admitted to the hospital, something came up with family, they had to go home, something like that.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
He opposes this message more than any message you will ever hear preached. He'll oppose it. He doesn't like this message. You're entering territory that the church has not dared step foot in too often. Because it draws opposition. It draws attack. Somebody said, well, then let's just back out of it and not talk about it. Well, add a little line onto that and live defeated for the rest of your life. I don't back out of truth because Satan doesn't like it. In fact, when I find what he doesn't like, I press. Because I'm not falling for his tactics. I've been too far. I know too much. I know he's bluffing and he's not got the power to stop us. Tell your neighbor, go ahead and buckle your seatbelt. Because you're gonna go through some things and get into another level of operating in authority here. Hallelujah. So he's been successful too long. Let me say something to you. The word believe is an Anglo-Saxon word. It's taken from two Anglo-Saxon words. One, be, which means to live or exist. The second word conveys the idea or the thought of accordance. In other words, to believe literally means to live in accordance with a truth that you have accepted. To live in accordance. It's not enough just to mentally assent to these truths. It's not enough to get this knowledge in your mind, although that'll help you, you understand. But it's not enough just to get that, to mentally accept some truth. It's something you must obey in your actions and act upon. Are you here? Well, it just seems like every Wednesday night something comes up I can't get to church. Duh. Hello? You know, I've talked to people who've been in this church, been here for 5-7 years, and that one still trips them up. Well, we've got to not just hear the word, but act in accordance to the word. Tell that devil I'm going to church whether it hair lips you or not. I'm getting out of bed. I'm telling the boss I'm leaving. You told me I could leave by 5 on Wednesday, so bye-bye. None of this, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. Amen. Tell him. Look, listen. Exercise authority over the force running that. That keeps blocking that. You'll be amazed at how it'll stop just like that. You'll be shocked. Too often we just allow things to happen and we wonder why God is allowing it to happen. Well, because actually he gave you and me the authority to do something about it. Authority is delegated power. Amen. A policeman holds up his hand. We said this, but I'm going to say it again. I'm learning to just repeat things because I just find out we need to, I need it. I need to hear things over and over. We all need to hear it over and over again. A policeman doesn't have the power to stop those cars, but because any of those cars could just run him right over. But he does have the authority. And let me say this, and we recognize that authority. We have come to the place that we recognize that authority. Because no authority has any more value than the power behind it. And we've learned that the power behind that authority is the law, the government, arresting, jail, bullets, billy clubs. You know what I'm talking about? There's power behind that authority. So when he holds his up, he blows his whistle and holds up his hand, that authority is no more good than the power behind it. And the law allows him to do more than just hope that we stop. The law allows him to use the power behind him to stop us. Isn't that right? Well, the same is true with the devil and demons. The devil recognizes spiritual authority and will respond to it. I've had people say, well, I bound it or I resisted it and nothing changed. I said, liar. Your problem is you're walking by sight. What did the Bible say? Resist the devil and you never can tell if he'll flee or not. No. Resist the devil if you're submitted to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I did that. Didn't work. Okay, let's take that page of the Bible then and just tear it out. That's no good. We can't depend on that then. Your experience is almighty. Ooh, your experience. Woo, you bow down to your experience. And the Bible, we just throw it away. No, 1,000 times no. Your experience is not the almighty, lofty one. This is almighty. We hold this up. Hello? We're making our point at least. I mean, so, praise God. The devil recognizes that authority. When Jesus spoke to evil spirits, his authority was in every case at once acknowledged by evil spirits and obeyed. Not a one of them argued with him and said, we don't have to come out. Not a one of them. Why? They all recognize his authority. Tell your neighbor, you are in him, and they recognize that authority that you have. Because the authority that you have was the same that was delegated to you through him. It was delegated from him. It's his authority. Ooh, glory to God. Tell your neighbor, we're getting this. They always instantly acknowledged his authority and obeyed. In fact, one of them said, are you going to torment us before the time? In other words, they recognize his authority to cast them out. Now, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So he recognizes your authority. Or else it wouldn't say he'll flee. It's telling you that he recognizes your authority. What are you waiting on before you exercise that authority? Well, I'm just hoping it would change. It won't. Because the devil's an opportunist. He'll do what he can get away with. And if you or I aren't exercising authority, he'll just keep on doing it because he gets away with it. Somebody said, yeah, but he doesn't have the right. Well, let me ask you a question. If you went home tonight and somebody was stealing your furniture out of your house, they don't have the right to do that, do they? But since they found an opportunity, they're going to try to do it. That's the way the devil is. He doesn't have the right to do what he does in your life, but if you'll let him, then he'll take that opportunity and he'll do it. So it's not just authority is not just a right we have, it is a responsibility we have.
Yes, sir.
Did you understand that? In other words, it's not God's responsibility to exercise authority over whatever the devil's doing. It's our responsibility. It's our right, but it's our responsibility. And listen, if we don't have the victory in our own lives, then we're hindering the kingdom of God. Because anything the devil's ruling, that's an area that is not effective for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to let him hinder me in my finances. That hinders the kingdom of God. I'm not going to let him hinder me in sickness where half the time I can't get here to preach, because that hinders the kingdom of God. But not just me, you too. When you only get here half the time, you're hindering the kingdom of God. When you only tithe half the time because Satan's trying to put pressure on you not to, you're hindering the kingdom of God. I know it's tight, but it's right. You know. It's time we stop letting Satan do this stuff and say, no, we have authority. We've been seated with Jesus far above all these. They're under my feet. And when we exercise that authority, they'll recognize it. Acts 19:15, whenever those seven sons of Sceva were casting out those demons, Jesus I know, they said, Paul I know, but who are you? In other words, they knew Paul. They knew Jesus. In other words, they knew that they had authority over them. What about you? Do they know you have authority? Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Then in Acts chapter number 16, verse number 17, the woman, the young girl that had the spirit of divination knew Paul and Silas. These men are the servants of the Most High God. They show us the way of salvation. They knew them. They knew them who they were in the spirit. Now that's also telling you they recognize their authority. And Satan recognizes authority. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Don't think he won't listen to me. No, he recognizes your authority. And he has to obey. The believer who's fully conscious of divine power behind him and of his own authority can face the enemy without fear or hesitation. Do you realize the power behind you is the power that raised Jesus from the dead? Satan recognizes that power because he encountered it on the day Jesus was raised from the dead. It spoiled him. The chains on Jesus were broken. Demons splattered against the wall. Eked and screamed in defeat. Jesus' power, the power of God went down there and hit Jesus. Jesus raised his, then defeated the enemy holding him in bondage, raised him up out of there. And those demons stood in hell trembling.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Come on.
Now, when you start saying in the name of Jesus, because the power behind you, he's encountered that before. If we just knew the power behind us, the power of God will back you up. I like that. It'll back you up. The power in you is greater than the power in the enemy. Hallelujah. And so they're compelled to recognize that power and the authority that has that power behind it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy. So that power overcame all those forces, and they know it. And when you say in the name of Jesus, they recognize there's power behind those words. Praise God. So too many Christians, they have a cross religion. We understand the cross. We understand the place of the cross. It was a place where Jesus took upon himself our sin. We understand the need of that. We recognize the cross. We come through the cross to get to the throne, don't we? So we came through Jesus. We came through the cross. But yet we don't camp by the cross. Old song in the Mennonite church, we used to sing, "Keep me near the cross." Well, I'm not really today wanting to stay near the cross. That's a place of death. That's a place of defeat. You understand? Jesus didn't stay on the cross. After he went to hell, he raised up and came up out of hell and now is enthroned, and he's got me with him at his seat. And hallelujah. And so I'm not staying by the cross. Tell your neighbor, come on past the cross and be seated. You're a joint heir with Jesus in all that he got. And he went on past the cross, didn't he? So it can mean nothing. To be a joint heir with Jesus can mean many things. But it means, if it means anything, it means the elevation of the Lord's people with Jesus above these forces of darkness. Amen. This is not just the honor of a few, but those who are resurrected with Jesus, it is their birthright. Hallelujah. That's the center of the power of the universe right there, where you're seated. The elevation of God's people with Jesus to the heavenly realm in the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers with Christ for this present time of the authority which is his. That means sharers mean it's mine and his. I should say it's his and mine. He got it for me. Isn't that right? We are made to sit with him to share his throne. I'm beginning to not just say sit with him, but I'm starting to say be enthroned with him. That's what that is. That's a throne that we're seated on. And a throne means authority. Nothing wrong with saying be seated, you understand. But really we're seated on a throne. We're seated in a place of authority. Hallelujah. That's our present tense position. We are there now. Amen. Not your body. Your body's here in Cedar Rapids. But the spiritual position of your inner man is far above these forces of darkness. Praise God. We're made to sit with him and share his throne. To share a throne means, without question, to partake of the authority which it represents. We've been elevated for the purpose of exercising that authority, because all that the head wills must be exercised through the body. Your head can do nothing tonight without your body. Well, we failed to see the church. Many have seen, some have seen that Jesus has been exalted high above all these forces of darkness. But what we've failed to see is that all that authority is exercised through the body. The head can't do anything. Your head can't do anything without your body.
That's right. Yeah, that's
right. It can think, I want to get up and walk out after service is over, but it can't do it.
That's right. 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 Yeah.
God in heaven, Jesus up in heaven at the right hand of the Father, can want to do some things on earth. Now, I know that troubles a lot of people, especially if this is a new message. But see, you got to understand, nowhere in the teachings of the New Testament does the Bible tell us to pray to God or Jesus to do anything about the devil. You resist the devil, it says, and he'll flee from you. Why you? Why not Jesus? It never tells us to pray to him to do anything. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he's delegated the authority here on the earth to the church.
Come on.
He rose from the dead and said, all authority is given unto me. But if you stop right there, you think he has it. But he goes on to say, go ye therefore. In other words, in my authority. You go in my authority. I got it back for you, but here are the keys. Remember, he told Peter, I give unto thee the keys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And really the whole church later in the 18th chapter, I give you the keys, whatever you bind will be bound, whatever you see. He's waiting on the church on earth to bind it. He said, you bind it on earth, heaven will back you up. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Heaven doesn't do anything until earth does something. But when earth does something, heaven backs it up. Heaven backs it up. Woo, man, oh man. It's getting clear. Tell your neighbor, it's getting clear. Hallelujah. So you can see why Jesus raised from the dead. It was to conquer the forces of darkness for us. When he threw those powers off of himself, remember the Bible said in Colossians chapter 2, what is it, verse number 15, I believe, he spoiled principalities and powers. There's actually two meanings of that. One meaning, if you look it up, means to strip off of himself. He stripped those forces of darkness off of himself when the power hit him in hell and raised him from the dead. He threw them off under that power, threw them off. He was the first begotten from the dead. He said that himself in the book of Revelation. Amen. So when he was quickened, made alive, 1 Timothy says that Jesus was quickened in spirit. That means to make alive. If he wasn't dead, why would you have to make him alive in spirit? He was spiritually dead, friends. He was spiritually dead. He was spiritually under the dominion of darkness. Somebody said, well, he didn't sin. Why was he under the... Because he took our sin. He was doing it as our substitute, paying our price. But when that power hit him, the Bible said he spoiled principalities and power. In other words, he stripped them off of himself. And guess what? By stripping them off of himself, he stripped them off of us. And he stripped their right to do anything to us off of us. They are no longer over us in dominion. They are under our feet, and we are raised far above them. I don't know if I've ever preached it so clear. It's getting clear. This resurrection was a crushing defeat for the enemy. And when he imposes like he's big and bad, you got to realize all that you're seeing is a shadow. You turn around, it's a little wee imp. He's a little wee old worm. He's defeated. Hallelujah. Don't let him roar and make him sound big. Don't let him sound big. Put him in his place. Praise God. So Jesus did all this for us. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, go over there. We're almost done here. Ephesians has a lot of revelation about the authority of the believer. I just want to preach on this until some things rise up in your spirit. I honestly am getting unction, but I'm getting this sense that there's a breakthrough coming for some of us if we'll just stick with this for a while. Just stick with it. A faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. See, we're going to get eventually into the practical side of this, and that'll help us apply it. But look here in Ephesians 3, it tells us in verse number, let's go to verse number 9, to make all men see, Paul said basically from the previous verses, I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost as a minister, have this gift of ministry, to make all men see, verse number 9, what is the fellowship, the word fellowship means sharing in common, of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, this is God's intent. Why did God do all this? This is God's intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, those are mentioned in Ephesians 1. We read about those principalities and powers. They're mentioned in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. Amen. Principalities and powers, he said, through the intent that now unto these principalities and powers in heavenly places, in other words, these forces of darkness, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The Amplified says, through the church. In other words, God's intent or God's purpose was that now, in this present time, the church is, that's seated with Christ might make known to these forces of darkness the manifold wisdom of God. Now, you might say, what is the wisdom of God? If you go through Paul's writings, especially in 1 Corinthians, you'll find it is the plan of redemption. That's, in a nutshell, the wisdom of God. So when God brought Jesus to take our place, to be our representative, and that everything Jesus did was put to our credit because he was doing it for us as our substitute, and God identified us with himself. Hey, let me say something. When Adam sinned, God identified every man in Adam as a sinner. That's why you and I were born sinners. You understand what I'm talking about? That he took that same principle that made us all sinners and used it to make us all righteous. Every person that receives Jesus is identified with him so that everything Jesus did, we got. Because we're identified with him. Just like God identified us in the first Adam, God identified us in the second Adam. And everything Jesus got, we got. So when he raised, we were raised. Whenever he was seated, we were seated. And the intent was that we manifest to these forces of darkness down here the wisdom of God. In other words, the plan of redemption. In other words, our victory over them. Does that make any sense? Yes, the church is to be God's instrument in declaring to these rebellious powers that Jesus defeated them. We're to display it to them every day. When we wake up, we walk in victory. When we go to work, we walk in victory. When we come home, we walk in victory. Everything we put our hand to is victory. Amen. By us completely living victoriously over these powers, we display to them every day that Jesus won the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he put all these things under his feet. Isn't that right? The church, however, has often failed to recognize that Jesus, the head, does what he does through his body. But tonight, that's gone, being blown out of the... You're never going to think that way again, right? That raising of Jesus was our raising. He's the head, we're the body. We've got to grasp that. Amen. So, can you handle just a little bit more?
Yes, sir.
Jesus, the head, is wholly dependent on the body for carrying out his will. He's not going to come down here and do anything about the devil. He's not going to come down here and preach the gospel. He's not going to come down here and raise funds for Spirit of Faith Family Church to preach it more. He's not going to come down here and exercise authority over the forces of darkness to try to hold it back. It's not his job. His job is to let us know what he wants. That's what your head's job is. This is what I want. Okay, so it moves your arm. But too often, the body of Christ, are you listening to me? Too often, the body of Christ has limited the head because the directions and impulses of the head are not appropriately carried out by the body. Much like the immature motions of a child's limbs. His head sees that he has a limb. He doesn't quite know how to fully respond to the head yet. I'm almost done. This is a little different kind of preaching. It's doctrinal preaching. We need some of this so we can do some other things. So a child's head starts to recognize that it has a body, and the mind knows exactly what it wants to do, but it hasn't quite gotten control of the hand doesn't fully respond to the impulses yet. I mean, you don't correct a baby because he smacks his little brother. I mean, he wasn't quite sure that he did it. You realize some things are not, they're not quite in control of themselves yet. And so that's the way the body is too often. The head gives the direction, but it's not appropriately carried out by the body because it's not fully responsive. Did you get that? It's not fully responsive. The direction of the head is not translated into appropriate action. Therefore, the head's limited because the body has not grown up to the full stature of a perfect man. How many of you know in God's patience, he's waiting for the fullness of his body? He's waiting for the body to grow up. My. There, he's waiting for them to stop praying about all that's coming against them. Amen. What is their source of opposition? And exercise authority over them. Can you handle something I'm getting ready to say? The more I grow in the knowledge of my authority, the less I pray. I'm talking about the way I used to pray. I spend much time and waiting on God and praying in tongues and so forth. But I'm talking about the way I used to pray. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I don't know. What it's so hard. I'll just come down here and do something about it. Nope. Or praying God would send somebody to do something about it. I learned, found out that the more I understand my authority, the less I pray, and the more I exercise my authority. In other words, I'm not addressing God concerning the matter. I'm addressing the enemy concerning the matter. Those forces that are opposing me. Amen. There's been some things opposing the church lately. But I haven't been saying, oh, God, what are we going to do? What, what's wrong? What? I've been just saying, no, Satan, no. No, 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 no. God doesn't have anything to do with it.
Come on. Come on.
In fact, he's doing his best to get people to respond otherwise. Tell your neighbor, I don't know who he's preaching about, but you know. And the more I grow in the knowledge of the word, the more I do it boldly. The true boldness is a faith that's in full manifestation. Catch that. That'll come back to you in later times. True boldness means a faith that is in full manifestation. When we really hear what God's saying about our authority, we don't hold back in unbelief. We're bold. We don't let that intimidation I was talking about at the beginning of the service bother us anymore. Hallelujah. So can you see the answer to some, and we'll close with this, that what some questions, let's put it this way, religious questions that some in the church world ask, can you see where the answer is? The questions say, well, why did God let something like that happen? Can anybody see the answer to that question now? Is it clear now? That it really wasn't God that let it happen. Whenever he delegated authority to us. Now, I don't mean this. I guess some people could take this wrong, but I'll use it as a term you might understand. God is not an Indian giver. You ever heard of that term? I don't mean that as a slur against anyone, but I just mean that means he gives it and then he takes it back. That's not the way. When he gave us authority, when he sees something going on, he doesn't say, oh, well, let me do something about that. No, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's the church's job. It's the church's job to spread the gospel. It's the church's job to overcome and hold back the forces of darkness. It's the church's job to rule and reign in Christ and not be dominated by the enemy. I'm getting through. The Spirit of God's getting through. Tell your neighbor, it's getting through to me. Once we understand that, we won't ask those religious questions. The answer lies in what's being taught here tonight. God originally gave Adam dominion over the earth, didn't he? Adam lost it. Satan became the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, through Adam, you know, relinquishing it to him. Satan usurped it from Adam. Adam relinquished it. He didn't have the moral right, but he had the legal right to do it. And so Satan became the god of this world. Jesus came to turn that around and give his body the authority back over the god of this world. He might still be ruling those who are still in darkness because they don't realize they can come out and rule over him. But he's not ruling over us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when we understand that, those religious questions will no longer be haunting our minds. We got to get this message out. Can you see what we're talking about? Tell your neighbor, we got to get this message out. We're going to tell your neighbor, I'm going to help get this message out. We've got to exert the authority that is ours in the kingdom of God against all the opposition that comes against us, that we face. That could include shortage of funds. Tell your neighbor, that could include shortage of funds. Strife that arises in our ranks. Somebody said, there's no strife. Oh, yeah. I got to address something as soon as I can get a chance to. Amen. In offense. Tell your neighbor that has to be pushed out of your life, my life. See, we're talking about exercising authority, and we're going to get down to the practical a little bit. So, shortage of funds, strife that arises in the ranks of the church, mental oppression or depression. I've never seen so much of it as I've seen here in eastern Iowa. I had a medical doctor check when I got here, and I said, there must be a higher level of people oppressed mentally, emotionally here than normal. Could you check the statistics? And so they got access to all this stuff. They went and checked. They said, actually, no. This is just a little bit better than the rest of the United States. I thought, oh, my goodness. Is this the way Americans are living? Then I realized that 75% of all people, all Americans, are on some sort of medication. Most of it is for psychological reasons. Well, I'm not accusing anybody that's taking those things. I'm just saying there's victory over depression, oppression. Amen. There's victory. Tell your neighbor there's victory. Amen. How about family situations where demons start trying to use people to break up unity in the family? Amen. How about against the spirit of fear? If you examine why you do certain things, you'll find certain areas of your life that the devil keeps jerking you back when you go that direction. And if you examine what it is, it's nothing more than fear. Nothing more than fear. I have come to the place I refuse to back out of something because of fear.
Come on, sir.
Amen. How about unbelief? You know, you can speak to unbelief. You can tell it, no, I'm not listening to you. I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. God needs men and women in the earth who will meet him in all that he offers and carry out his works. He's offering us the throne. He's offering us full authority of that throne. And so we've got to rise up and rule as he taught us to do. Can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
In this age, you're being trained to rule in the ages to come.
Amen.
You'll have to learn it here.
That's good, Pastor.
Don't let things dominate you here. Don't let 3 weeks go by where you're oppressed in your mind.
Right.
Or even 3 days.
Right.
Or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Or 3 minutes.
Yes, sir.
That is failing to be trained to rule in the ages to come. I believe that if we don't learn it down here, we'll be of a lower rank in the ages to come. We've got to learn to rule and reign. Because actually, I believe that we will rule over the earth from the seats that these demon forces occupied before Jesus defeated them. I believe Israel will rule naturally as natural beings. We will rule in the heavenlies as spiritual beings. Under Jesus, the head of the church. And Jesus will rule over this entire planet. Forever and ever and ever. Well, how are we going to do that? We're being trained for reigning right now. We're in training for reigning. Training for reigning. So whenever you resist fear and get it out of your life, Jesus said, well, now they're learning, so I can give them a higher place.
Yes, sir.
I can give them a higher place in the ages to come.
Amen. That's so good.
Amen. We need to think about some of those things. This is not the end after this all down here. This is not the end. We got some things to do for eternity. We're not going to sit on a cloud and play a harp for eternity. And just sing praises to God for eternity. We'll do all that. We'll rejoice and do all that. But listen, we will be ruling and reigning down on this earth, I believe. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. So let's step up and learn. Rather than back down and let fear and bondage and thoughts of oppression dominate us, let's step up and learn how to rule and reign. And again, have a higher place in the ages to come. Praise the Lord. I'm interested in that. How about you?
Amen.
I want to help Jesus in every way I can because he's done so much for me.
Amen.
He's worthy of my whole life being dedicated to him, completely submitted to him, completely responsive to him, I want him to get great glory out of my life.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Amen. Yes,
isn't that your desire? Then let's learn to do this. I know you are. I don't want you to think like I'm treating you like you haven't. But let's just keep on learning is what I'm saying. Let's keep on learning. How many of you are, some things that used to bind you, they don't bind you anymore? Oh, Jesus. How many of you know? He said in the book of Revelation, blessed is he that overcometh. Every one of those seven churches. Blessed is he that overcometh. He that overcometh, I'll give him a place in the kingdom of God. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. I want all that, don't you? So I'm going to overcome all these things. Overcome, overcome, overcome strife, overcome bitterness, unforgiveness, offense, things that push me around and knock me around and make me do things I wish later I wouldn't have done because I wasn't. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yes, hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you're in training for reigning. Amen. 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 The Lord is looking through the body of Christ to see who qualifies for the next. I'm not saying you have to walk in authority and victory to go to heaven. I'm saying for higher positions.
Amen.
In the time to come.
Amen.
Yeah, he's looking for people that'll pass the test. That aren't taken out with every little offense, aren't taken out with every little thought of weakness and with every little condemnation thought that comes to them, but rises up and says, oh, I'm going to rule over that.
Amen.
And stay in victory. You know, if you can't show up to church anymore because you don't have fellowship with somebody because you're offended at them, you are being taken out by the enemy and you're flunking. You're flunking. Somebody said, well, I'm here. I know, but go tell somebody that's not here or hasn't been here, hasn't been showing up. You're flunking. You're giving in. Amen. I'm going to be your boss in the kingdom of God. You're going to be an errand boy. Everybody else will wear decorated crowns and decorated garments, and you'll be running around in your underpants, you know, just... You laugh, but there will be varied degrees of glory in the next life. I don't think anybody's going to run around in their underpants, but I am saying, because everybody gets a white garment. How many of you know a white garment? But look, I mean, I want more than just a white t-shirt and white boxer shorts to run around in for the rest of my life. I want to have a high position of ruling and reigning. You get it? How many of you got it? I know it's a crude illustration, but you got it. You're not wonder what pastor's trying to say. No, you know what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is a more than conquering church.
Yes,
overcoming church.
Yes.
Let go of the offense. Let go. If you can't conquer offense, that little wee old peon thing that the devil's seen, yeah, can you see what they did? See what they did? If you can't conquer that little old, that's just one of those little imps.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
What are you going to do when these higher forces come against you?
Come on.
Amen. Learn on the little things. Tread on the little things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. At your work, whenever those people try to pull you into strife and getting angry and all that, just learn right there. No, under your breath, you don't have to say it out loud. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. You harassing thing trying to harass me, I bind you. Take authority over it.
That's right.
And they'll stop and be sweet, and you'll just go, see, I'm training for reigning. Training for reigning. Training for reigning. This thrills me. This message thrills me. Thrills me. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you tonight. We bless you. Thank you for the knowledge of these things. Lord, there was a time we didn't know any of this. We just saw ourselves as just saved, holding out until Jesus comes. But Father, the truth, this sound, it has such a sound of victory to it. It gives us hope that the future is bright. Because we're going to walk in these truths. We're not just hearers. Hallelujah. Father, we lift our hands in gratitude for what you did for us and to us in Christ. We decide to take our place. We decide to rule and reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're going home a different way than we came here tonight. We're going home on top of it. Nothing ruling over us, but us ruling over it. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know if you can't rejoice in somebody else's blessings, something's trying to rule over you? Yeah, yeah. I've been there. I've been there when I thought I should have gotten that position or whatever. And that thing started bugging me. Yak, 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 yak. And sometimes it took me a few days to realize. And I said, no, in the name of, I put it down. And see, it would respond instantly. But I've learned now, don't even give it an inch. Don't even let it say two words. I said to you, you leave me alone. The love of God works no ill to my brother. The love of God in me seeks the best of my brother, for my brother. Thinks the best of him. Thinks of the best of the person that promoted them over me. And stay in good fellowship with the church. You know, if you're sitting in the back and you're just like that, you don't have good fellowship with the rest of the church. And something's trying to put you down. And you're going to have to rule over that. Or else it'll take you out. Uh-huh, that's right. We've all been there, haven't we? But we're ruling and reigning now. Give God a shout. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Father. None of these things will move us. None of these things will rule over us. But we'll walk in the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. On the way home, you might just need to say, now, Satan, you get under my feet. You could do it now, but I'm just saying, if something you want to do in private, just say, now, I'm not listening to that voice anymore, that yakety-yak-yak thing. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.